Good morning. I greet each of you in Jesus' name. You may turn to Ephesians 5 for an opening text. I'll read several verses there. Ephesians 5, 15 through 18. And I wanted to say I appreciated the, enjoyed the service this morning, and I appreciated the springboard of Brother Michael's devotional in considering how we use our time. And that's a real element that once I get to the subject where I'm headed here, it ties in so tightly, although I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it itself. But opening verses, Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 18, says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." Are you prepared to define what does circumspectly mean? It means exactly, diligently perfect. See that ye walk diligently perfect, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. And I just want to pull out there, I think he is specifically talking about drunkenness, but I believe he's also tying in with that. Don't give yourself over to lusts of the flesh, and don't, I think another place it might call it foolishness, another translation might have said that, but don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We'll stop there. And the burden I have for this morning is that as we navigate challenges of life, we embrace wisdom from God, we exercise that wisdom from God, and that we walk in the Spirit, that we're able to apply His wisdom into our daily lives. And this morning, well, several weeks ago, I was talking with a brother, and I said, you know what? That gives me an idea. I'm going to talk about, for my next sermon, that's where I'm going to go. And he messaged me last night. I don't see him here this morning, but he messaged me last night and said, he just sent the title of what I said I was going to preach about. And I said, oh, I totally forgot. And I wrestled with that just a little bit. And then I said, well, apparently the Lord didn't want me to preach on that, because that's why it slipped. Maybe that's why it slipped my mind. But I was impressed to, and we're not going to look at a lot of scripture this morning, but I had read an account or a historical account few days or weeks ago about the almost nuclear disaster on Three Mile Island. And it reminded me of another historical account of an actual nuclear disaster in Chernobyl, which would be in Ukraine. 40 years ago, next Sunday, it will be 40 years ago, exactly. And I'd like to make an analogy with this, but the title for this morning is "The Nuclear Plant in My Pocket." And I think you might have an idea where I'm going with that. And I know that maybe not everybody, this applies in different ways, but as we look at this subject, what I'd like to talk about this morning, there's no way we can cover all the different dynamics or aspects or, you know. So there's some ways where it's going to be an overview, but I like to stir our minds to the threats that is in our midst. And focusing on modern technology, especially the smartphone, smart devices. And there's a sense in where I wanted to, and maybe I will anyway, but there's a stronger focus, especially for the younger people here this morning. But it's as pertinent to me and the older ones as well, at least for the most part. And when we think of modern technology, it brings a lot of good, but it also brings a lot of risk and sometimes side effects that we don't really consider or don't realize just because they come along as quiet side effects. And modern technology, it's affecting all of us right now. Like we live in modern age, and whether you have a smartphone or not, it's still affecting your life. And to get a few things to get your mind spinning of where I'm headed, a few questions. How often has a smartphone, or a phone, we'll just interrupted a conversation you were having with another person? How often has your phone interrupted your time with God? How many times have you ignored a physical person in your life because of a cellular person or interest on your phone? Here's kind of a deep one. How much time has God lost for the kingdom by Christians wasting time on their phones? How have families and church cultures changed just in the last 20 years, more or less, due to the internet and smart devices? And to get into the historical illustration, and like I said, I like to use this as an analogy. So it was on April 26, 1986. The world's classified as the worst nuclear power plant accident occurred at Chernobyl, at the nuclear station there, in which was part of the Soviet Union at that time. 32 people died, and dozens more suffered radiation burns in the opening days of the crisis. Why? What happened? Well, a group of engineers began an electrical engineering experiment on the number 4 reactor. There was 4 reactor power plants there, and they began an experiment on it. They had the engineers are supposed to be pretty intelligent, right? The engineers, who had little knowledge of reactor physics, wanted to see if the reactor's turbine could run emergency water pumps on inertial power. As part of their poorly designed experiment, the engineers disconnected the reactor's safety emergency systems and its power regulating system. Next, they compounded this recklessness with a series of mistakes. And long story short, some gas built up inside and blew the concrete and steel lid off the top, and over 50 tons of radiation was released into the atmosphere. So what did they do? Send out an alarm? No, they tried to hide it. Okay. A cover-up was attempted, but on April 28, 2 days later, Swedish radiation monitoring stations more than 800 miles to the northwest of Chernobyl reported radiation levels 40% higher than normal. And later that day, the Soviet news agency acknowledged that a major nuclear accident had occurred at Chernobyl. An estimated 5,000 Soviet citizens eventually died from cancer and other radiation-induced illnesses caused by their exposure and to the radiation, and millions more had their health adversely affected. if you're like me, you probably don't know just a lot about nuclear energy plants. But from what I read, they are efficient and widely regarded as a really good way to produce energy. So, and countries across the world are building them. They're expensive, but they're regarded as a good way to produce energy. And as we read in the story, though, they come with risk, right? And an analogy, as we'll just kind of cap this, nuclear plants, along with technology, are good when, and I got 3 points, when the people operating it are properly trained and understand it. 2, when the people operating it use proper safety protocol and procedure. And 3, when the people operating it take full responsibility and keep transparency of the operations. Today, each one of us is carrying a smart device. Today each one of us carrying a smart device is responsible for a nuclear reactor, in a sense. And the concern I bring this morning is, are we being exposed to the radiation of improperly used internet and smart devices? And I like to, as I was thinking about this, and as you heard, we looked back at the ministers' meeting, we looked back over the pastoral letters, and it kind of jogged my mind a little bit because I'm almost getting ahead of myself. The world has changed dramatically in the last 30 years, 30 plus, right? In the whole concept of internet and connectivity. But we seldom, if you're like me, we seldom stop and think about, you know, life 30 years ago was like this, and like some of the social things that were in place and different ways the world operated and acted. I'm going to touch on that. But, you know, today, this is normal life, what we live with. It's normal life. And the modern age, it's grown upon us with unprecedented abilities and opportunities at our fingertips, and this is exciting. So just to turn the clock back a little bit, I remember in the mid-90s when my family got our first cell phones, and unprecedented. A phone you could stick in your pocket, you could be anywhere if you had service, and make a phone call. It's phenomenal. Many people my age or just a few years younger than me don't remember pre-cell phone. We just always had cell phones. As I got older, and you know, I got a cell phone, and there was things that happened with young people. Today, we're concerned about smartphones and young people. There was things that happened with cell phones, just kind of general things. There was some people who it seemed like they were always texting. They were just always texting someone. They were always on their phone, and they didn't have smartphones, but they were on their phone. And the other thing that was, just looking back, one thing, multimedia messages got circulated around. And that was kind of a big deal. It was forwarding all kinds of, and I'm going to say mostly worthless, but entertaining voice recordings, pictures, and videos, right? And as we'll jump off here on a little illustration, I recalled, thinking about that, I recalled one time one of these messages was sent to me by a young man who I'd hung out with some, and then he moved out west somewhere, I believe. But he sent me one of these messages, and it was supposed to be funny, but it had a whole string of expletives, bad words, through the message. And I replied to him, and I I ask him if he thought that I'm the kind of person that would think that's funny. Like if he thought that that's who I am, that I would think that was funny. And then I also challenged him to get his life straightened out, which I was immediately criticized for judging him. And that I had no idea how much God was working in his life and how he had grown spiritually and in the last year. And maybe that was true, but the really sad part is that he had grown up in a Mennonite home and he should have known better. But and just one more thought. Do we have a good gauge on what should be forward in and what shouldn't? I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. Moving along with the historical look, in the late 2000s, smartphones came on the public scene, and with most people accepting them by 2010 or very soon after, and as far as the general public. And so if you are somewhere around that age, you likely don't remember life without smartphones. I have here in my notes, you likely don't remember real life, or at least what life was like before smartphones took over. You know, when this came along, the churches have tried to navigate this. Many different approaches, and I believe it was somewhere around 2010. There was not a date on this one that I saw, but the PMC released a letter giving some direction. I'd like to read some of the lines out of it. This was around 2010. Every age has had its challenges, but surely the perilous times of the last days are pressing upon us as a church, especially in the area of technology. It seems that there will be no end to new and appealing gadgets, features, and opportunities that modern media continues to produce. How can some of the most effective tools also present such a great snare? It is very important that we keep our hearts with all diligence as we live in this present evil world. It goes on, we would like to encourage our members who have internet access to use it as a tool and not for entertainment or social networking. We're asking those who have social networking accounts to close them and discontinue this type of communication. We are appealing to parents to give direction to cell phone usage in their homes and to protect their children. There was also a letter titled Technology Concerns that was released in 2019 that I'm not going to pull anything out of, but it would be good for you to refresh your, if you've never read it, or even to refresh if you have read it, read over that again. And to read it with an open and honest perspective, because I know in time past I have struggled to always appreciate some of the pastoral input into my life, and I think we need to try to hear the heartbeat of the concerns, right? So I point out this historical part because we live in this rapidly changing world, and now young people are getting new phones, and it's exciting. And you know what? It's a life-changing experience. It really is. And the question comes maybe from younger people sometimes, like, what's the big deal? Why the concern? Why the paranoia? Or I don't know. Maybe that's not the right word, but such concern about, you know, smartphones. And the stigma with this goes along sometimes is that for the preachers or your parents, you just don't want us to have any fun, or you're old-fashioned. And just a couple of thoughts I'd share on that, two things. Does it make sense, this is to the young people here, does it make sense to you that you would know more or know better than those who had lived longer than you and have experienced life and have experienced some of these effects and some of these things we're talking about in your lives? And just to put this in perspective, if you are 16 to 20, somewhere in here, a lot of the youth are missing, but if you're 16 to 20, Does your 5 or 10-year-old sibling or the person sitting on the bench close to you, or do they know as much as you do? And do you expect them to have a pretty good gauge on life? They understand life? Well, if that seems pretty obvious, then why would you think you know better than someone twice your age? And there might be limits to that illustration, but I think there's a point to that. We, as young people, I want to encourage you to remember. And the other thing is, do you care, as a young person, do you care more about having a good time and just being able to do what you want to do, more than you care about guarding your soul? If there are cautions and things, concerns brought in, how much do you stop and care about that? Guarding your soul against, I have spiritual poisoning or radiation. Radiation. That's what happens when nuclear plants lose their material inside. It's kind of hard. I'm not prepared to really explain it very well, but it makes you sick. Radiation. So just to be clear on that. And I want to say to the young people, if either of those places is something you struggle with, I understand, because I've been there myself. You know, I've struggled with that very same thing. But it's somewhere that you need to be serious about, because it can be a dangerous place if you hang on to that, those attitudes or thoughts. And it doesn't change the facts. So what are the facts? I asked the internet, what are the effects of modern day tech on our lives? And it had this to say about itself. Modern technology has fundamentally altered the core of human experience by shifting how we remember, how we communicate, and how we relate to our surroundings. While providing unprecedented convenience, it has eroded several foundational practices from the past. Maybe I'll repeat that. Modern technology has fundamentally altered the core of human experience by shifting how we remember, communicate, and relate to our surroundings. While providing unprecedented convenience, it has eroded several foundational practices from the past. And it gave 3 points, and under those 3 points was a few subpoints. The first one is erosion of cognitive skills. Our reliance on digital tools has changed the way our brains function, particularly in memory and attention. And there's recent studies have come out showing a concerning fact that for the first time in modern history, Gen Z graduates are scoring lower on standardized academic tests and cognitive measures. And there's a lot of study about that. But basically what it comes down to is because they are learning off of screens so much, they are not remembering and learning as much. Memory, digital amnesia, is another part of the erosion. We no longer feel the need to commit facts to memory because they are easily retrievable online. This subcontracting of the memory to the cloud has been shown to reduce our ability to recall information. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's talking about me. Okay. Attention span. Constant notifications and the attention economy have fragmented our focus. Studies suggest the average human attention span has dropped significantly from 12 seconds in 2000 to roughly 8 seconds today. I'm not sure how they're measuring that, but that's a whole third less. Navigation and spatial awareness. Over-reliance on GPS has been linked to decline in hippocampal dependent spatial memory. So part of your brain is declining as we no longer practice mental mapping of our environments. The older ones of us, you know, I used a what do you even call it? The big atlas. a little bit in my life. Some of you drive a lot more. Some of you traveled a lot more growing up. But there's a whole young generation that probably never even touched an atlas, unless your dad or someone showed you and said, we're going to look at this. I'm going to show you how to use an atlas. And so we travel. We go over to Michael Whitmer's, and I don't even know where I'm at, because I never go over there, and every now and then we do, and so then, but I always have to put in my GPS because my spatial awareness. Okay, I'm getting it. But it's a real thing. We don't map it out in our minds. We just follow the GPS. And so, trying to recap what we just went over, our use of smart devices has made us forgetful, distracted, and generally lost away from home. Does this sound good to you? All right. The second part of this, shifts in social interaction and communication. So the move from face-to-face to screen-mediated communication has eroded traditional social bonds. Loss of nonverbal cues, so digital messaging, we know like text message, you don't get verbal, you don't hear tone of voice, you don't see body language or facial expression. And this, it says, this can hinder the development of empathy and lead to more frequent misunderstandings. 100%. I think a lot of us have experienced this. Superficiality versus depth. Social media often prioritizes curated, idealized versions of life over authentic, messy human experience. This has led to a culture of instant gratification and constant social comparison, often increasing feelings of isolation and anxiety. And the third one they have under shifts in social interaction is presence and intimacy. Even the mere presence of a smartphone during an in-person conversation can decrease the quality of that interaction. The silent tap of fingers on a phone has often replaced the hum of conversation in public areas. I've experienced this, you know, eating at the lunchroom or the break room at the quarry, or could be even at back at Horse Signs. No conversation because everyone's engrossed in their phone. What impact is that having on our social lives? Have you ever wanted to socialize, but everyone around you was on their phone? They were in a different world. To recap this under this one, our social relationships are suffering due to misunderstandings in our communication, feeling like everyone else has it better than me, and constant distractive presence of our devices. And the last one, maybe I shouldn't spend a lot of time on this because it doesn't tie in quite as close, but I feel like it still affects us. The decline of craftsmanship and local identity. Technology has changed our relationship with the physical world and local communities. So craftsmanship, mass production, and mechanization have diminished the prevalence of handmade objects and the practical wisdom inherent in traditional trades. While tech can assist artisans, an example like 3D printing, it can also lead to a loss of unique manual skills. And we see that happening. Less and less people that are able to manual labor, right? Have the knowledge, the skill to do manual labor. Sense of place. Historically, community belonging was tied to a physical location, neighborhoods, and towns. Today, technology allows for global interest-based communities, but this can weaken ties to our immediate physical neighbors. I think this happens somewhat even in our churches. We have friend groups and we have chats and people that we can be connected to outside of the physical people that we are with, right? Erosion of privacy. In the past, privacy was a default personal right. In the digital age, it has become a commodity that is structural and often extracted without meaning or consent. And just to recap this section, there is a loss in personal craftsmanship, there is a loss of physical community, and there's a loss in privacy. You know, personal pictures and information can just be broadcast in a split second, and it's in cyberspace, it's in the world. There's also a thought I'd like to bring out here from Tristan Harris, who is a former Google employee and the founder of an organization called Time Well Spent, designed for ethical design in tech products. He said that apps such as YouTube and Netflix consciously compete with sleep and time with friends for our time and attention. And he just named two, but there's a lot. There are apps competing for your quality of sleep and for your friends. How often has a device kept you from spending time with friends or getting the sleep you need? It has definitely happened to me, and I'm sure I'm not alone. So there we looked at some of the things the internet itself told us that are negative effects with modern technology. But you know, as Christians, we take it even deeper. We look at ways our phones and certain apps can steal time from us and God, feed the flesh, undermine our values, and so on. And I do want to say that, to be clear, there are benefits to this new technology, but this morning we're looking at some of the dangers and risks that often get overlooked. And so my question to you, we looked at some of those negative things. Do those things matter to you, and are you being a responsible operative? And if you're not, there's likely radiation escaping from the nuclear plant in your pocket due to that negligence or carelessness or disregard to the necessary safety measures that are needed to protect us from getting sick. And the concerning thing about that is it doesn't just make us sick if we're negligent with it. The radiation from your nuclear plant will infect others and make them sick as well. And in that illustration, initially 32 people died and dozens more suffered radiation. Back to the power plant disaster. 32 people died and dozens more suffered radiation burns. An estimated 5,000 Soviet citizens eventually died from cancer and other radiation-induced illnesses, and millions more had their health adversely affected. Now, if we look at today's society, millions are having their health adversely affected by this technology. Why is it so hard to properly and safely manage our connected devices? There's probably many reasons. I got two big reasons. For us, we look at it, it's a convenient multi-tool. It brings all kind of opportunities and good things that we can say, well, I have to have it. You know, it does so much. I have to have it. But the second reason is why is it so hard to manage this? The trick is once we do have it, it easily gravitates from being a tool. And when you think of a tool we keep in the toolbox until we need it, we go get it out and we use it for a job and then we put it away. It gravitates from being a tool to becoming a toy that simply it feeds self-gratification and you use it whenever you have free time. Okay? And since it's in our pocket and we can just pull it out anytime we have free time, well, pretty soon it starts taking every free time we have, all the free time that we have. And the other problem with that is we unfortunately like self-gratification. We enjoy that. So it can You know, it might not even be bad things, but it's something that we're, prone to do. So an honest look, how much of your use on your smart device would you say is even necessary? And the second question, have I unknowingly become a slave to my device? And I fear many of us have, at least to some degree. Many of us become obsessed by either a certain app or apps, and they begin to control us more than we realize, and soon they're stealing time from our work, from our family, from God. And some of them even subtly undermine our values with some radiation. Worldly attractions, vulgar language, and inappropriate content. What can we do? What can we do about this? Well, we need a monitor for radiation. You know, the Swedes had their monitors going. They were monitoring for radiation, and they picked it up, and they said, there's a problem. We need to be on guard for toxic levels in our spiritual lives. We must, at the very least, get rid of the apps that are poisoning us. And sometimes it's hard. Like, well, it might be a useful app, but it's poisoning you because it's taking too much of your time. You're too obsessed with it. Jesus said, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. And we say, but that would hurt, and it would be inconvenient. Inconvenience, man. We love convenience. Three things. Delete apps that bring questionable or tainted content into your life. Draw a line. Delete them. Delete or set timers on apps that you tend to waste time on. And number three, be sensitive to times when you are on your phone in the face of others. I think that's a big one for probably all of us. The nuclear plant must be managed or you will get sick and those around you will as well. You will get sick. And I thought of the illustration of the man who got a nasty cut on his finger. And he didn't take proper care of it. He didn't clean it. And it got infected. And so one day he went to the doctor and he said, hey, can you clean this up or give me some medication to clear up the infection? And the doctor said, well, I'm sorry. Your finger is so infected, the only option we have is to take it off. And he said, well, I can't do without my finger. I'm not going to do that. And so he left. Because he chose not to take off his finger, the infection spread to the rest of his body. There's different versions of this illustration, but eventually he died because he was not willing to get rid of the infection. And we switched that a little bit from radiation to infection, but I ask you, are we helpless guinea pigs in a new age tech world? Do we have to suffer all the negative things associated with new age technology? The list of things that Google itself told us that this is part of the things that what you will deal with. Do we have to suffer that? I don't think so. But we will suffer if we're not willing to walk circumspectly. If we refuse to cut out the things causing infection and sickness to our souls. That's circumspectly, exactly, diligently perfect. Again, the three things we need to succeed. I ran over these kind of earlier, but three things we need to succeed is, number one is proper training. And just to elaborate on that a little bit, pastors, part of our job is to give teaching. But also parents, you have a huge part. You need to be involved in your children's lives. You need to set a good example with how you handle your device. You need to help them understand why they should or shouldn't have certain apps. Is it going to cause radiation in your life? It's going to make you sick. Help them manage their time on the apps that they do have. Husbands and wives work together. Give each other input. I know my wife has done that for me already, and I appreciate it. You've been on your phone a lot this evening. Can you be with us now? I need that reminder sometimes. Is phone time taken away from family? That hurts our families, I believe, way more than we realize. And one more thing. Phones have their place, but it's not at the dinner table. Okay. Number two, proper safety. Have the accountability and necessary blockers. Have set times when phones are checked in or put away, turned off, whatever it is. So you give some structure for your young people, parents, and even for yourself. You know, have structure with it. You know, it's for our good. Don't try to be smart and get around the safety measures. Be responsible and be safe. And number three was proper accountability. And be open about your use of your device. Are you involved in appropriate apps or time-wasting apps or spending too much time on apps that are okay? Be honest and accept the input in your life from your parents or your accountability group, partners. Just open yourself up for that. We need it. And I'd like to close with Proverbs 4. And it's, I was going to read 18 through 27, but I think I'll just read the last three verses. It says, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." And so I left you with the question, is the nuclear plant in your pocket safe? Is it functioning properly? And is it even being a blessing to those around you? Or is it quietly radiating poison? May God give each of us wisdom and strength as we analyze that nuclear plant and make decisions regarding that to keep us healthy and those around us healthy as well. God bless you each. Let's pray.